Now in your Bibles, if you turn to Numbers chapter 20, and we shall read part of this chapter together. But before I start to read this passage, I just want to remind you again of its historical setting, that it's not always clear to us where this chapter and the narrative occurs, but between the end of chapter 19 and the beginning of chapter 20, there is a period of 38 years. The first 19 chapters are mainly to do with Israel's wanderings in that first year when they left Egypt, and now from chapter 20, it is that end of that 38th or 39th year, and the following 16 chapters record to us the events of that time. Now it's important to remember that at this time that at least 650,000 men at least had perished because they rebelled against God there at Kadesh some 38 years earlier. And of all those men that perished, there was only 5 people left of that previous generation that were in Egypt and remained to this time. And we know 2 of those people were Joshua and Caleb. They were in the numbering of the people as in the preceding chapters. But there was also Aaron and Miriam and Moses. Those 3 people, and Jude and Caleb and Joshua, were the only ones that remained alive at that previous administration. Now at the end of this chapter, only 3 are left. Miriam dies, Aaron dies. And these 2 and Moses were the eldest people of that generation. Miriam would be at least 130 years of age at this time. And she is the longest person from this time, the oldest person who ever lived, both biblically and virtually up to this present time. So this chapter is very significant. And the details here are of utmost importance. And there's a clear teaching of God that we must try and comprehend concerning the events of this chapter. Now, after saying that, we're going to begin at verse 1 of chapter 20. Then came the children of Israel, in even the whole congregation, into the desert of Sin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And now we're going to continue the passage from verse 22. And the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh, and came unto Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I had given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into the Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. And may the Lord help us in the understanding of his most holy word. Amen. Now in your hymn books, we will turn once again to 704. 704. Lord Jesus, think on me and purge away my sin. From earth-born passions set me free and make me pure within. Hymn 704.
Servant.
for our text that we can center our thoughts upon this evening, we'll find it in the last verse of the chapter we read, Numbers 20 and verse 29. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. I was very conscious, considering the weather of this evening, that over 20 years ago, I preached a sermon from this pulpit on a similar night like tonight. And on that occasion, my sermon was from a cave, the cave of Machpelah. And that was also associated with a death, the death of Sarah, another very elderly lady, the wife of Abraham. This evening, we're going to Mount Hor. And Mount Hor is a very significant mountain, especially concerning Aaron and for the children of Israel. Now, as we read through Scripture, we will find that there are several narratives concerning mountaintop experiences. They begin with the Mount Ararat and end with our Lord's ascension from the Mount of Olives. And between those two mountains, there are probably six or seven other mountaintop experiences. Now, in each of these mountains, the narrative and the experiences of the men that associated with them are quite dramatic and very significant. And this experience of Aaron doesn't seem quite dramatic. It appears just to be a funeral service of a very loved and a very significant man of God, Aaron. Here he died, and here he was buried. But I can assure you that this death and the circumstances of his death are profound. Now, I won't have time this evening to bring all this out, but I can tell you that the full significance of these verses that we have read here from verse 22 find their fulfillment in the book of Hebrews, those chapters between 6 and 9, and you will find that the circumstances here are used as a powerful argument for the high priesthood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But Aaron's death was unique. It was most unusual. Now, it's very interesting that when we read the scriptures also, that there are a number of deaths that are recorded, but they're very often brief accounts. We find in Genesis 5 a whole list there from the time of Adam to Noah, and it just records that they died. They died, and then another generation followed. We do not even know a record of the death of Eve, who, as we know, was the mother of all living. Then we have the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A little bit more is said about them, and very often there is this clause, they were gathered unto their people. Now, the most significant of those patriarchs is Jacob. And Jacob we know a little more. But the interesting thing is that with Jacob's death, we read that that mourning was grievous. Great lamentations were made for Jacob, and they mourned for him for 7 days. But here, they mourned for Aaron for 30 days. And this is the first death that we read of in Scripture, where they mourned for 30 days. His brother also died, as we know, A few months later, they mourn for him for 30 days. But nowhere else in Scripture do we read of any of God's people that the mourning was for that length of time. We have no record of the Old Testament prophets, apart from Elijah, who was taken up by a chariot. We do not have the record of Isaiah or Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and none of the minor prophets, great godly men as they were, and writers of the scripture, but no record of their deaths. There's even fewer records of deaths in the New Testament. Zechariah and Elizabeth, no record of their death. Joseph and Mary, no record of their death. The 12 apostles, there are many ideas about some of the apostles that they were martyred, but the only ones we know is James, who was beheaded with the sword, and of course Judas, who betrayed our Lord and he hung himself. And of course the most prominent and significant of all is our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And there's obviously more chapters written about that final week of our Lord's life than any other. Now this is why our study now is most important. The death of Aaron is mentioned 6 times in Scripture, in Numbers and Deuteronomy. We have the record of his death. We know that Aaron died in the 40th year after they left Egypt, in the 5th month, which is Abib, and I believe it's the 24th day. He is the only death that we know of in Scripture where we have the year, the month, and the day of his death. And the circumstances of that death on Mount Hor, we read together from 27 to 29. There's always a great public observance of the death as well. They mourned for Aaron. The whole congregation saw that Aaron was dead, and they mourned for Aaron for 30 days. Let me just take you briefly to this scene. The children of Israel had at last began their journey from Kadesh. They had wandered for almost 40 years, a pointless and tedious journey for them, where all those people that rebelled at Kadesh 38 years before died. And finally they were setting march forward. They were going to conquer Canaan. And as they went forward, they came across a problem, which we won't accord them with. They wanted to go through the land of Edom, but they were forbidden. And then they camped again by this mountain, Mount Hor. And the children of Israel, we read, even the whole congregation journeyed from Kadesh and came unto Mount Hor. And at Mount Hor, they stopped. Now, if you were to stand at the foot of that mountain, as I say, it's the 40th year of the 5th month and the 1st day of the month, you would see 3 men ascending that mountain. 2 elderly men and 1 younger man. 2 of the elder men were Moses and Aaron. The younger man was Aaron's eldest son, Eleazar. Moses, the brother of Aaron, Moses, the brother of Aaron, and Aaron was fully clothed. He had his holy garments upon him, his office of the high priest. Now, this was the first time that we read of in Scripture that Aaron wore those holy garments outside the sanctuary. They were forbidden. They were only to wear the priestly garments Aaron is a high priest, and the priests, as we mentioned last time about the linen garments, they had to leave them in the tabernacle grounds because it was sacred, it was sanctified and holy. But here, to the people of the maidens, Aaron is dressed in his garments. So they knew something most unusual was going to happen. And as they watched and went, as they were climbing this mountain and possibly passed out of sight because they went to the top of the mountain, there possibly Moses and his son Eleazar were heavy in heart. They were grieved. They knew that this was Aaron's last journey, and the Lord was going to take a very faithful and loyal brother from Moses and a very loving father to Eleazar. So they were of heavier heart. And then when they got to the top of the mountain, Aaron was stripped of his holy garments. They were taken from him, and they were placed on Eleazar, his son. And then he passed away and died. The Lord took him. They descended the mountain, and the whole congregation knew that Aaron had died. They could only see Moses and Eleazar dressed in those holy garments descending. And when they saw that, they made this mourning of 30 days because of the loss of this faithful man, their first high priest, for over 38 years. This death was unique. We know the day, the month, and the year. He was dressed in his holy garments. They mourned for him for 30 days. Mount Hor is mentioned 10 times in Scripture, and every time it's to do with Aaron. All these connections of the death with Aaron, that Mount Hor stood as it was as a memorial to Aaron and his death. I was interested to hear, when I was at work in the Midlands, my employer used to go to the Holy Land, and they loved going to visit places there. And she said to me when she got back, "You know, Richard, we went by Mount Hor." And she said, "The guide said, this is the death, and there's a grave there for Aaron, the brother of Moses." And I thought, even to this day, Mount Hor is associated with Aaron's death. And in fact, the Jews had a fast day, every day of this month in memory of Aaron. We have 6 references to the passing of Aaron. They are Numbers 20, 28, 27, verses 13 to 14, chapter 33 in Numbers, 38 to 39, in Deuteronomy 32, 49 and 51, the verses, and in Deuteronomy 10, 6. So it's remarkable this death is recorded so many times. What was the reason for Aaron's death? Why was it that God forbade him to enter Canaan? We must realize that this was Aaron's and Moses' greatest ambition. This was to be their life's achievement. They wanted to lead the people into Canaan. God had called them. God had called them to lead the children of Israel, both Aaron and Miriam and Moses, into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Yet Aaron was denied that privilege, and it must have been a bitter disappointment to him. I was interested as I looked through my Bible, I don't know if it's in your Bible, But you come across Deuteronomy 3. And I know this is at the heading of this passage, at the top of your Bible. It says, Moses' prayer rejected. And I thought, I just couldn't think of a time when Moses' prayer was rejected of the Lord. This must be the only time that Moses prayed and the Lord rejected his prayer. But this is the reason why. Moses says in verse 25 of Deuteronomy 3, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. And he prayed obviously many times, Lord, please, I want to go into Canaan, but the Lord forbade him. There was a reason for that, and there was a reason that Aaron couldn't go in. And I'm sure that Aaron's desire to go in, even just to pass over Jordan, so to speak, to set foot in the land of promise, would be his final great achievement. But it was forbidden. Mercifully, Aaron said nothing. He submitted to God's will regarding this matter. Now, Aaron's judgment for not going into the promised land, he was forbidden of the Lord to do so, was not because of any other punishment such as the golden calf. That was another of Aaron's sin, but he was not forbidden because of that. And Aaron's judgment, not because of any cause of rebellion in refusing to enter the Canaan, like those people that were first at Kadesh. That rebellion then, when the people would not go in because of fear, and Moses and Aaron encouraged them and exhorted them to go in, but they would not. And we read that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces, seeking the Lord's mercy. So it wasn't because he did not join that rebellion like so many of the Israelites at that time. Neither was Aaron's judgment because he died of old age. Aaron at this time was 123. And although it doesn't say, we read of Moses that he was strong in health. He was as strong in health now as he was at the beginning when they first wanted to go into Canaan. So it wasn't because his faculties were diminished that his strength was failing. Like most other people, we read that they died old and stricken in years. Just think of it. I read that Mount Hor was at least 5,000 to 6,000 feet high. It was a very high mountain range to climb. Aaron was dressed in those holy garments, which we looked at a previous sermon. Just think of it. A man of 123 dressed in those garments, and they were certainly not fit for mountaineering, climbing that mountain. He must have had a lot of strength, even at that time. So it was not because of old age or that he was stricken in years. And neither simply was because he was part of that passing generation. No, it wasn't because of that. Over 650,000 men perished because of that rebellion. But Aaron was not part of that rebellion. Neither was Aaron to be translated like Enoch or Elijah. Remember, Aaron was a very godly man, a very faithful man, their first high priest. Yes, he made error and sins, but since the golden calf and that time when he rebelled with Miriam against Moses, he fulfilled his function as a high priest faithfully and perfectly. If he didn't, the Lord would have struck him down. He kept to it. So we see that Aaron did not suffer the punishment that his sister had inflicted upon her because of her sin of leprosy. Neither was he to die of martyrdom. We read twice that the congregation took up stones to throw at Moses and Aaron, but the Lord protected him from being killed from the congregation. God preserved him. And in Numbers 14:10, you can read there how the people gathered together to stone him. No, Aaron's death was because of this sin at Kadesh Marabah. And we may think, well, what was so serious about this sin that caused such anger in the mind of God to cause both Moses and Aaron to forbid them in fulfilling that life's work of entering into that land of flowing milk and honey? The first thing is this. It was the location. You see, Kadesh Meribah was that same location where the children of Israel were gathered together almost 40 years earlier, and they rebelled against God's command. They disbelieved God. They were fearful. And they did not go in. Now you would imagine almost 40 years after wandering in the wilderness and dying in the numbers they did, they would have remembered this. They would have remembered Kadesh Meribah for that rebellion. Here they were again, a repeat of the situation. Surely now they must have seen the error of their ways and what they had to suffer for it. They were forbidden. But no, that generation didn't remember. The same sins that happened at first at Kadesh Meribah were repeated again. The same sins here on this occasion when they were going to go into Canaan again. This whole new generation had risen up. And the test now was for this generation. Would they believe God? Would Moses and Aaron believe God? They needed water, something that they desperately needed. There was no water in Kadesh Meribah at this time. And they cried for water. But water was not available. And this is why they said to Moses and to Aaron, they all gathered together against him and said to him in 20, you have brought this congregation of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our cattle should die there. Wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is any water to drink. Now, we're quite familiar, this rebellion. And as we know, we looked at this in this series of going through Numbers. So I won't repeat the details there. But here we find Israel again in the same situation. God brings a further test to their faith and to their obedience. So what was it that caused Moses and Aaron and the congregation to sin in such a way? You know, when I thought about this, you think about Moses and Aaron, these two brothers who had seen so many miracles, who had known God in such a unique way. We read that Moses spoke to the Lord face to face, and there was no prophet risen up after Moses like unto Moses. Why was it that Moses and Aaron sinned because there was attack of the evil one upon them. Satan had frustrated God's plans there at the first. Now he was seeking to frustrate God's plans yet again. And this time he sought to bring down Aaron and Moses, to cause them to fall in a subtle way. And it's remarkable that these two elderly people, so much experience, fell in this way. Let's just look how Satan in his subtlety caused them to fall. The first we read in verse 8 of this chapter. God says to Moses, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, and Aaron thy brother, and speak you unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and it shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto him, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation did drink. The first sin, disobedience. God commanded Moses, and Aaron was in agreement with him, to speak to the rock, and he struck it with his rod. God did not command that. In fact, there's a spiritual significance here that Moses should not have smote that rock twice. We read in 1 Corinthians 10, in another situation, that rock was Christ. Christ was only once smitten, friends, for the sins of his people. Christ died once and once only. That rock should not have been smitten twice. It should only have been spoken to by mouth. Secondly, pride. Pride. They said to themselves, they did not sanctify the Lord. They did not honour the Lord. The Lord says to them, ye sanctified me not. They gave their honour to themselves. They said in verse 10, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch water out of the rock? They were throwing to themselves as being able to cause this water from the rock. But God will give his honour to none other. God will have all the glory. Moses and Aaron seem to take on that response to themselves. So we see the sin of disobedience, we see the sin of pride, and then we see the sin of unbelief. God says to them in verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Unbelief. Exact same sins as committed almost 40 years earlier. Unbelief. People did not believe God that he would deliver them from the enemy in the land of Canaan. Aaron rebelled. And it's so remarkable that they did this at such a time of life as they had been through. And then they did this in anger. They were angry with the people. Moses called them rebels. And we can understand the way why Moses and Aaron were angry with the people. But they let them passions control their logic. and their God's given command. You know, Satan can use our passions and our emotions. He used the emotion of fear initially. That's why the people wouldn't go in. With Moses and Aaron, it was this passion of anger. And how often, friends, we can sin, can't we, when we are angry, when we lose our tempers. There's so many warnings in Scripture about the wrath of man and to control anger. And he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. There's a commentary about this in 106, Psalm 106 and verses 32 and 33, where we read, "They angered him," that is Moses, "also at the waters of strife. So it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoked his spirit, so they spake unadvisedly with his lips." How tragic, friends, that such a thing should happen to these two great men. And they did it in the sight of all the people. Their behavior was public. We read it was before the whole congregation that Moses and Aaron were angry. And they said, spoke unadvisedly with their lips, and they should have been an example to the people. We read in James 3, chapter 1, that those people should not seek to be masters, because the Lord, I read it to it, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Those who have leadership, those that have authority in the church, are supposed to be an example, good shepherds to the congregation. And if we fail, ministers fail, their condemnation is greater because of their responsibility and calling. So this is another reason why Moses and Aaron were not allowed to go in. This warning against an angry spirit being done publicly. Kadesh should have been a place of spiritual blessing. Kadesh should have been a place where the people rejoiced because God performed a wonderful miracle in sending water to satisfy their thirst. But it wasn't. The name Kadesh Meribah means a place of strife, a fountain of strife. And that's how it was known from that time since. Not of blessing, but of God's judgment. There are one or two lessons that we can just learn from this narrative that are helpful for us to remember. And that is, let us be aware of Satan's attacks. Let us ever be on our guard and watch and prayerful. You know, no age is no defense, and experience is no defense against Satan's guile and cunning. Satan is very subtle. He knows our weaknesses and he knows our strengths. And he can use it to try and frustrate God's purposes. I was told last week that there was a very experienced minister of the gospel, well into his 80s, and he was asked this question: "Do you find temptation any easier now than you were when you were younger?" He said no. He finds temptations greater in his old age and experience than he was when he was younger. So let us beware against these things. There's a hymn in our hymn book that reminds us of this. 7:13. "Watch against the devil's snares, lest asleep he finds thee. For indeed no pain he bears to deceive and blind thee. Satan's prey, often they who secure are sleeping, and not watch are keeping." Satan is a mighty enemy. He frustrated God's purposes there 40 years ago for the children of Israel. He sought to frustrate them at this time. But mercifully, God was patient and long-suffering, and they were brought ultimately into that land of promise. And another lesson is this. You can say, well, yes, Moses did strike the rock. It was disobedience. He didn't believe God, but the water flowed. The water came, and we read that the whole people were satisfied. Their thirst was quenched, both man and beast. Surely we can see God's mercy here. Be careful, friends. The means does not justify the ends. Many, many people have made this error, that when they go into sin, they not only see God's judgment, but God's blessing at a time. It seems to work, but it never justifies the means in which they brought that blessing. We can see this in Scripture. You think of Jacob there and his mother. They thought, quite likely, Rebekah wanted Jacob to have the blessing, and how they deceitfully tried to get Isaac convinced that Jacob was Esau. And they told lies, and they acted deceitfully, because the Isaac was almost blind. And it worked. It got the blessing. But what consequences? What consequences ultimately for Jacob and for Rebekah, who possibly never saw her son again after he left to find that wife? No, be very careful that we do not justify the means by the end in which it brings. There's a Puritan saying which says this: the Lord can draw a straight line with a crooked stick, but we must very be careful that because that stick is crooked and we are stricken and we sin, God can work his purposes out, but we are accountable to the Lord for our actions. There is another example here, at least one, concerning Aaron. Aaron did not complain. Aaron, as we saw in an earlier sermon, was submissive. He was submissive when his two sons perished. He held his peace. And now he was submissive. We don't hear a word spoken against God for this decision that he had to go through of perishing there on Mount Hor. And you know, friends, we must be submissive to the Lord's will. We must be prepared to submit and to conform our lives to his will for us. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what will happen to us in our old age. We all love to be independent and to look after ourselves. But maybe that is not God's will for us. We may have to give up our independence. We may have to submit to being cared for others. And we must submit to God's will in these things. Our times are in God's hands. When those days come, may God grant us grace to submit to him with such a mind. No matter. For as for God, his way is perfect. Be silent as God is working out his purposes and will for us. Our Lord said to Peter on one occasion, Peter, when thou art old, others will lead you where you will not want to go. Others will take you to places where it will be hard and difficult. And it is believed that our Lord said this concerning his martyrdom. But the Lord warned him of this, and he was submitted to it. Aaron's end was not a failure. He thought it was. The people thought it was, because he hadn't fulfilled his goal, his mission of taking the people into the land of Canaan. Because he perished there because of his sin, it wasn't a failure. God had a purpose for it. You see, because Aaron's genealogy is recorded, his death is recorded, the grievous sins that he committed are recorded, Aaron's failure to lead Israel is recorded, Aaron's office as a high priest's garments been stripped from him and given to another, Aaron's mortal remains being carefully buried there on Mount Hor, Aaron's death and the end of his life work as an high priest. It all had a purpose. It all had a reason. But we'll leave that for another time. I will finish my remarks here. And next time, in God's will, we will look for the purpose of Aaron's death and God's plan for him. May the Lord bless these remarks to you. Amen. We will close with the hymn, singing of hymn 699. In the hour of trial, Jesus, pray for me. Let by base denial I depart from thee. When thou seest me waver, with a look recall, not for fear or favour, suffer me to fall. Hymn 699. Shall drink the cup. gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we give thanks for every portion of thy word, for we know that it is all for our benefit and profit, and we trust that even as in our consideration of the death of Aaron, that we may learn much from it. But do keep us, O Lord, from evil and sin. Keep us on guard against the many wiles of the devil, and may we be strong in faith and do great exploits in thy name. So, dear Lord, as we now separate and go to our homes, keep us in peace and in safety. Protect us and guide us as we go on our earthly pilgrimage. We pray that thou would bring us each safely to glory and to that promised land of flowing milk and honey, and of those pleasures which we find evermore at thy right hand. Lord, keep us looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, as we ask and pray these things in his precious name. Amen.